Welcome to Bigfoot Eruption Presents, featuring Heidi and her supernatural journey. And I say it that way because last time we talked about it being a paranormal journey. And now I'm saying, what's paranormal and what's supernatural? And we don't even have to get to the bottom of that, really, because in some cases we'll never know. But it's a good discussion. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to take away from your sharing stories from your life. But as we share each one, let's just keep in mind paranormal versus supernatural. And I've concluded that paranormal is what we do not understand, what science does not understand, but might understand someday. Supernatural is what science does not understand and will never understand, nor will they ever accept it. So we know God is supernatural, angels are supernatural, even though they can be physical and do physical things. It would never be accepted by science. And now I'm realizing that actually pinpointing what would supernatural be is easier than what is paranormal. Because paranormal things, if we say demons, we could also say, well, that's spiritual too. And I would say spiritual is supernatural. That would mean that non-Christian spiritual stuff, and there's a lot of that too, would be supernatural?
Yeah.
Because I attributed...
It affects everyone, I'm sure, even if they don't believe.
Right.
You know?
I attributed supernatural to being pretty much God-based, the God of the Bible. And yet, what if it's voodoo? What if it's in deep Africa witch doctors? Is that supernatural? So I think I'll be doing episodes in the future, even though I would say I'm a Bigfoot-themed podcast and a Bigfoot-themed entity of what I do, and everything for me flows through Bigfoot, it seems. The Bible and Bigfoot. So, like, is Bigfoot paranormal? Is he supernatural? That's like saying, is Bigfoot physical or spiritual? And the answer is, yes. Do you want pie or cake? Yes. It's probably both.
Yeah.
So we talked in the last episode about four stories that we called your paranormal journey. So one question is, do you have any more thoughts on those? And do you have more?
Yeah, yes to both. I know you suggested I go in chronological order, and we briefly talked about our mom having a home that was haunted or something weird was going on, and she was being attacked while she was asleep. And I guess I just wanted to add some things to that.
Okay.
So before I knew that she was being attacked in her room by having bruises on her where she had said she was injected, and before I knew any of that, I had a dream that was more like a nightmare, and it was her, and she was in a room, and she was being attacked and being held down, and she was screaming and asking for, you know, help, help, please help me, someone help me. And when I saw her next, which was a few days later, I told her about this dream, and she said, yes, that's really happening to me. Why didn't you do anything? And I'm like, okay.
Oh no.
I totally didn't know, and that's so trippy that I had a dream about it, that where she would actually talk about it, you know, where I had the dream and I told her about it, it opened it up to where she'd be able to discuss it, because I hadn't heard anything about it before that. And so that was kind of interesting. I don't know that I've had that kind of a dream, you know, that was talking about something going on with somebody, you know.
Yeah. Talk about it. Wow. Talk about having that feeling of responsibility, of what you do with a dream. Wow, that's a thought. That'd be a movie right there.
Yeah, really. Mom's got a lot of interesting stories, it sounds like. So this went on for a while, and I think you were living in Oklahoma or somewhere at the time. Anyway, so she said that she would pray all the things she thought she could pray to make it stop. And it was also happening to her sister also. So she was being real, she was feeling like, well, my prayers aren't being answered. You know, I love God and I have a relationship with him. Why is this happening? And so there was a lady from my church who knew all kinds of prayers and had for a short time worked in the deliverance ministry. She came over to mom's house and sat with her, and she prayed, said all these prayers. She had a book, which I asked if I could have a copy because what she prayed actually worked and it stopped. But mom told me that she prayed because our mom's dad was a Freemason. This person prayed against that having a hold on mom's life and other things. And I thought that was interesting that it stopped after that. With the last episode, we mentioned that mom felt like she was being attacked by the Freemasons in her church that she was playing for.
Right.
So yeah, it seemed like I don't, it's been so long now, but it seems like she went to that church before these things started happening. And I don't know if there's a connection, but you know, it's possible that, yeah. Do you remember when she moved into her place, if there was anything going on like
I
that?
remember when she moved in to it. You're right, I was abroad in the military. Probably Oklahoma, like you said, and I eventually heard the stories from her, a little bit from our sister, eventually from her, and I remember not feeling totally comfortable there, but I figured, so much of our lives, and not to bash anyone's efforts or whatnot, feels like a dark cloud has been over our lives frequently. And so that almost felt normal to feel a little uncomfortable there.
Our sister, who was still living with mom, then moved to Washington, and mom was left there alone. Normal thing, but things kept happening. Like she found, I don't remember if it was a goat's leg in her yard, you know, or a deer's leg, you know, and different things. Somebody knocking at her door. Where and during the nighttime, things like that. And so my husband, when he was still alive, he's like, why don't you come in and move in with us, because you don't need, you know, that's, we want to get you out of that situation. And that was really great that he did that. Even though the night attacks had stopped, she had all these other things happening.
Okay.
And also a silly thing, in that house, I remember being over there and looking up at the ceiling, seeing a slug trail, you know, it glistening in the light. And I thought that was hilarious. Not that it was supernatural, but it was on the ceiling. And I'm like, okay.
You know what? That's something you don't really hear that often happening.
I didn't see a slug anywhere, but I saw the trail and I'm like, oh, that's funny. You're way up high, and she had a manufactured home, and the ceiling seemed higher in the living room, you know.
Yeah. We can never say what house that is because then we'll get in trouble. No one will ever want to buy it. Unless they do want the creepy.
We wonder. I know we've wondered if the people that moved in after she moved out, if they experienced anything, but yeah, we don't know.
Wow.
Hopefully they didn't.
That reminds me, I know someone that has Bigfoot activity coming through their property frequently, and I wonder, when that house or property gets sold, do we tell the next owner?
Yeah.
I want to, because,
I heard that,
you know,
people who have had experiences in their home, that they're supposed to say, though not that the other people would believe it, just, but I don't know if that's true. Good question.
That's a discussion. If it's Bigfoot activity, do you say it? If it's paranormal, bad spirits taunting you, do you say that? I mean, which level of bad do you say? And then later they would say, why didn't you tell me?
Right. Or what if nothing happened once those people moved in? It was just with that one person that lived there before, you know, kind of thing. And if you say it, and they're hoping it's, you know, has ghosts or Bigfoot, and there's none that show up, they would probably want their money back, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a hard thing to figure.
Yeah. On the Confessionals podcast with Tony Merkel, I think it's okay to say that. He often will ask the person, well, when you moved, did it follow you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a real good question.
Yeah. When Mom moved in with us, it didn't seem like anything was happening to her that I remember. So that was good.
That's good. So now when she has weird things happening, as someone gets older, now she lives somewhere else, not your house, but
yeah,
as someone gets older and their mind starts to go, not saying hers is going, but as dementia sets in and as such things sets in, now you have a different component. Another thing to filter through. But yeah, for the most part, I think she's pretty much not being attacked now. But whenever there's something odd she mentions, I know we kind of perk up and think, maybe.
Yeah, it's like if she has had these experiences before she started having dementia, is it possible that something's coming, has come back, and what do we do about that, and what happened to make it happen? Because it seemed like it was only in this, she's lived there, I think, 5 years, I'm not sure. And it seems like it's just the last year that we started hearing, like you said, she has those things that people get when they're abducted in their skin. Like you mentioned the last episode, what is it called? implants.
We
haven't physically seen them. Like you said, well, next time that one comes out, Mom, save it. So, you know, we could see if it's really happening, or like living in her, like we know about our aunt when our mom was being attacked at night, our aunt was also being attacked. And we also discussed this man that would show up, like came through a mirror, according to our aunt and our cousin, you know, and our mom is seeing people in her house right now, if it's okay to say, but no one else has seen them, but they aren't threatening or anything. They're just there, like passing through or things like, you know, I'm like, I don't know what this is, you know?
and when you say,
I know she prays and everything, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And when you say passing through, and I'll ask her if she wants to share these stories also sometime, but her brother, after he died, came into the house, so he's not alive. So let's say his spirit came into the house. She saw him. He walked through the house, like, slowly. I think looked at her. Maybe to show, hey, it's going to be all right. I don't know. And then he walked out. So that's not what you're talking about. That you're talking about people she doesn't recognize.
People she doesn't know. Like she said, it was like her home was just a pathway to get somewhere. Like she said, she saw people like like they were waiting for a bus stop, like they were walking through her apartment, and like her kitchen was the bus stop, you know, like if it was two dimensions. And they, you know, like I want to say one had an umbrella, you know, stuff like that.
So let's review. Let's review. We mentioned a couple locations. Let's go backwards. Right now, she lives in a place in Corvallis, Oregon. Before that, she lived at your house, Corvallis, Oregon. Before that, she lived in a manufactured home in Lebanon, Oregon. We're calling that the haunted house. Before that, she lived in Albany, Oregon, in an old Victorian-style, historic-type house. Lots of creaking. There was something spiritual living under the stairs in the basement.
Oh yeah, it was so creepy going down there, and you and I had our bedrooms down there, and that was creepy. Or you go, there's a little room sort of under the stairs, and it felt really yucky in there, like something not good took place there or something, and feeling like you got to run up the stairs sometimes because it feels so creepy, like something's chasing you.
I was just about to say that. When I would walk up the stairs, I would often get like halfway and hurry up at that point. I would get up those steps.
Yeah.
And I would never know why, except it just felt really creepy very suddenly.
Yeah, and our sister, well, she was living there. She had her room on the second floor, and she said she saw shadow people looking in through the window. And that's two stories up, you know, and that's kind of creepy. Or she said that she saw Grandpa when she was younger, and he came and talked to her. I don't know what that was.
I remember I went to my youth pastor. So, like, I was 19 or whatever. Our sister is 13 years younger than me. And so, at best, she was in grade school. But I went to him, and I talked about this imaginary friend. Now, you mentioned several instances, a couple instances just now, so I don't know which of these was her imaginary friend, but she had an imaginary friend, really concerned mom, probably not a good thing, and my youth pastor...
I forgot about that.
Okay. My youth pastor said, Robbie, don't worry about it. Kids do these things. Wow. How many times do people of ministry
brush off things?
Yeah, they don't get
and don't.
Yeah.
It's like we aren't, that's one thing that, like, say you said Tony Merkel and others have mentioned, it's like the church isn't addressing these things, you know, like UFOs or ghosts or whatever it is that people are experiencing, and it feels like a real letdown because God would want us to have the tools, but maybe the pastors in seminary didn't get the tools, you know, like, but I know some pastors do, you know, deal with these things more, but yeah, it's interesting.
Right. I just realized I didn't plug something in, so we may have been hearing this recording double.
Okay.
Like an echo. We're 19 minutes into it, so, well.
Okay.
I've said before, I noticed mistakes in podcasts that are because of editing. And I know when you're editing, it takes a long time. And when you get done, you just want to be done.
Yeah.
But having an echo for 19 minutes would sound really super, super unprofessional. So we'll hope for the best.
Well, we can do that part over if you want, if it doesn't work.
That's true. We'll finish. And then I'll check it. I could check it right now, actually. But we'd probably go with the flow of it and just do that part over later. Unless it's really cool.
Okay.
Like, I could put a little piece in the beginning that says, okay, I made a mistake, but it sounds haunting, so I left it in.
Okay.
So,
That's cool.
in thinking of the timeline of the four stories you've already shared, for you to have seen our dad after he died means he had already died, but for him to come after your husband died, in the timeline, I feel that makes that the fourth story. The first story was the rather large angel whose head was touching the ceiling, looking at you with a somber look, almost like not fully physical, but like a partial veil was in between you. That was the first one. Your kids were young. In fact, one of them probably wasn't born yet. Then the next one, you had a child see a spirit in church, and that would be second. Then third is probably you being taunted at the haunted house mom lived in, taunted by a spirit. And then your husband was alive then, invited our mom to live in your guys' house, which means the fourth story was after he died. Dad came to see you, didn't say anything, but I think gave you a look of it's gonna be all right. So does that sound right? Okay, so after you saw the dad who was deceased, what would the next story be?
Yeah, between that time and the next story, I'm drawing a blank, so that would be like 6 years later. Boyfriend and I were gonna go camping two summers ago, and I was really excited, and it was like 45 minutes east of Springfield, Oregon, at a like a dammed up water area reservoir camping area, and I was really excited. I had heard there are Bigfoot sightings in the area, and I had never seen one, so I was really excited inside my heart. I'm like, yeah, I hope I see Bigfoot. Hey, Bigfoot, if you can hear me, I'd love it if you'd show up, And so we went camping, and the first night, there was like only two other campers in this really large campground. And they were really far away from us, and we were camped in one of those Coleman from the 80s campers that you kind of unfold. I can't remember what they're called, and you tow it behind your vehicle. And I was just the he was asleep, and he brought his cat, and his cat was asleep, and I was really quiet, and I was just laying there, and all of a sudden I mean, I could have fallen asleep, but I felt like I was awake. We were really close to the water, like 20 feet away from where we were camping, and there's like a beach there. And all of a sudden, it was like I was standing almost on the beach, and I saw this figure like on the edge of the water, but it was on the ground. And it was like communicating with me. And I was like, whoa, okay. And it was, I didn't feel fear or anything. It felt very welcoming, and it was like red outline, like neon almost on the outside. It reminded me of a tree trunk, but it had red on the outside, and I couldn't see the top of it, but it was like a woman's face, or it felt feminine on it, and it was like holding like its child, which was also red outlined. And the first impression I got from it was, welcome, what are your intentions here? Or, and I'm like, oh, we're just here to enjoy the area. And they said, oh, that's great, And then they said, because other people you have done things that aren't good there, like litter or whatever it is, killing animals. Anyway, and that's the impression I got. And then it was like, Yeah, please enjoy yourself here. You know, nothing's going to harm you, because I had a little fear in myself that a wild animal would come, you know, and cause trouble or whatever. And they're like, oh, no, everything's fine. You're going to be fine. And they said there'll be some that will come out of curiosity, like Junivals. And then in my mind, I pictured Bigfoot when they're saying this, to come and be curious about your stuff. So you might hear stuff, or, you know, they might look in your things, because we had our stuff setting outside, like tables and coolers and everything. And so I'm like, okay. And it was just really trippy. I had never experienced that before. And while it was, we stayed a few nights there, and I kept looking to see each morning if anything had looked like it had been gone through, but I didn't see anything. And I was kind of disappointed, thinking that, you know, somebody would come. But another night, I everyone was asleep, and I was laying there, and I'm laying in the corner where the window is. I'm like right up next to the window, which is just like mesh, and then behind me too. And I heard something walk up, and it sounded like it had rocks, a few rocks in its hand, and it was sort of moving them around in its hand, standing outside the window. And I was like, whoa, is that Bigfoot? And then it went away. And it might have just been another camper, you know, it might have just been a deer walking by chewing on something, I don't know. But I thought that was trippy. I was disappointed I never saw Bigfoot, but
fun. Have you ever seen Bigfoot otherwise?
I don't think I have. Though I think I might have had experiences and a couple experiences with them that I'm not sure that I'll share. I had some interesting experiences after this camping trip. Uh-huh. And yeah,
so
when I got back home.
So you saw a lady. When you first saw her, did you say, oh, there's a person trying to talk to me?
Well, when I first saw it, it was like all of a sudden I was there near the beach, and they were there like 15 feet away.
Across
from me. But, you know, I was still in the camper. It was like I was standing like 15 feet away from them all of a sudden, which really, it was really close. I was physically close to the place I felt like I was standing, and where they were, where I was laying down while I was having this vision or whatever it was.
When you first told this, I imagined a body of water in between you. Are you saying there was dry ground in between you?
Yeah, and the water is just right behind them. They're right on the edge.
So it's like this thing was talking to your mind, but it felt you felt it like what it would be in your mind if you're talking to this person standing there, which is probably how Bigfoot does it. This communication.
Mind speak or something.
I'll have to ask. I have I have someone I've met who talks to Bigfoot in that way. So I'll make a note.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll make a note of this and I'll ask. So it looked like a woman. Was there anything? Because later you suspected that she was hinting that the juveniles would come.
Yeah.
And the Bigfoot juveniles are very curious. The friend in Washington I mentioned, it's the juveniles mm-hmm. that are doing all the skullduggery. And they're not doing it out of hate. They're doing it out of just being cantankerous.
Curious. Yeah.
Curious, joking. But did she look Bigfoot-like?
No, she looked like
American Indian?
A tree trunk.
Right.
Like a tree trunk, like
a tree trunk,
2 feet wide or whatever. And I could kind of see a feminine face at the top of it. But it was all red. Everything was red on the outline. It was all outline in red. And like she had arms and she was holding this baby, the impression, it was like I didn't see it with my eyes, but I did, but I didn't. my impression was it reminded me of a baby's face, like in its arms, like, yeah.
So you saw no lower body?
Yeah, it was just a tree trunk, and mostly the red outline was on the outline going all the way to the ground, but I didn't see branches or top of a tree. It was just this one part. Yeah.
Was it like the tree trunk was like the backdrop and somebody was rolling a projector film over it, for example? Or she was the tree trunk?
I got the impression that it just presented itself to me like a tree. And
but you could tell it was a woman.
And it was like, yeah. Well, it was feminine. I got this feeling of it was a feminine, and it was motherly and caring,
which is what we hear about the female Bigfoot.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because I had a little fear in me, maybe it presented itself like that in a way that wouldn't make me feel afraid, in a motherly, loving way. And I love trees, so I don't know.
And right, so maybe presented itself in, interesting, if this being presented itself to you knowing you loved trees and thus not wanting to freak you out, presented itself as a tree. There have been stories about like 3 foot tall chipmunks or raccoons that are too big are actually aliens. Posing. So in this case, it came in the form of something you'd understand. And yet, why didn't they think to just come in the appearance of a human? So as high tech or high advancement as this sounds, they actually chose a tree? which shows maybe the simplicity of them too.
No, if it was with my upbringing, you know, biblical stuff and wondering about stuff that appears to you that's not an angel, you know, and is this a tree spirit? You know, it's like, I don't know what this is, but I only felt good from it and kindness, and like it was not threatening. So I didn't feel like it was demonic or anything like that.
And it made a point of wanting you to not be scared?
Yeah, to feel welcome and that it would tell me that others were going to probably come and
be curious,
mess around with our stuff just out of curiosity and just for the heads up.
I've only heard of Bigfoot juveniles doing that. So I think, like my friend who has Bigfoot talk to her telepathically, I'm going to tell her this, and I think there's going to be a lot of agreement.
Oh, great.
A lot of agreement, yeah.
Tell
me more about the baby.
It was just, it didn't say or do anything, but, you know, I saw movement of the head of the feminine, and I saw movement of the baby in its arms, the arms of the tree feminine thing. And
okay, I'm gonna need to see a drawing.
Oh yeah, I should do a drawing.
Please, because my mind is like, whoa, really having trouble getting a visual. Tell me about the red around the edges. You mean like a solid edge or like light coming off of it?
It was like light, like if it was a neon sign. It was like red outline, the outside of the two sides of the tree, red neon, you know, like outlining the feminine face and its features, and red outlining the arms and the baby. But yeah, the tree part, the bark and all of that, I just got a feeling it was there, but I didn't see it. And I just got this impression it was a tree, like the outside lines, you know, made a tree trunk, and
I'm guessing that this red light coming off of it was like, let's just call it somehow portaling into your mind, And
Oh yeah.
like the conduit that got the message to you was outlined in red somehow. I don't know.
Well, it was nighttime, and if it didn't do that, I probably wouldn't have seen it.
Oh wow.
I
Okay.
mean, well, in my mind, because it was totally dark, and so because of the outlines and the outlines of the features, I could see it in my mind, like I was out in the dark
Yeah.
looking at something.
How long did this discussion take?
Just a few minutes.
You
Like maybe 4 minutes.
probably didn't feel like asking more questions, but were you curious to ask?
At the time, like it said, there'll be others coming to probably mess with your stuff out of curiosity. I was like, so there won't be any cougars that are show up? And they're like, no. And there won't be any bears? No. I tried to think of other things, and it said no. So I don't know why, but I felt like I needed to go down this list, and I felt more and more relaxed. And
Yeah. Well, here's a plug for the confessional, not the confessionals, sorry. Sasquatch Chronicles, where Wes Germer is interviewing Survivor Man Lestrade,
oh, yeah.
episode 500. And I don't remember
That's such
numbers.
a good episode.
I don't remember numbers of episodes very well, but Wes made a point of this is 500, and this is a big one, and it was good. Bigfoot creatures were communicating mentally with Lestrade,
Mind speak.
and there was an invitation. You want to meet us tonight? So I won't say any more, but if people want to go to that episode,
Yeah, that's such a good episode.
huge, really good episode. Someone you can trust, and some
Yeah.
honesty in the discussion, and what he would do different next time. So, how much after this was the other camping trip where there was a creature standing outside your camper?
Where I thought it sounded like it had rocks in its hand.
Yeah.
That was like the next night.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to look out the window. I didn't want. I'm not. There's no way I'm going outside in the dark by myself. I was just like, as it was happening, I was like, "Oh wow, is this Bigfoot? What's gonna happen?"
Yeah.
But it didn't do anything to the camper. It was fabric on the outside, top part where I was sleeping. And it's like it could have touched it or pressed in, or it could have made noise, but that's all I heard was something walked up and I heard the sound. And yeah,
Isn't it interesting
I
how
said,
safe?
no, I don't want to communicate with them. I'll just go back into the forest.
It sounds like the creature was thinking about it, huh?
Yeah.
And the unlikelihood that you were awake, that's probably something they're not counting on.
Oh yeah, I really don't like camping that much because I feel so vulnerable.
Yeah.
But I know I had him with me, and I wasn't just in a tent. I was in a metal and fabric structure, so I felt a little safer. But
Do you take Abraham?
yeah, I stayed up really late, and when we went camping the next year, I was up really late at night because I didn't know what was gonna happen. And
Hey,
they were asleep,
you
and
know what? You should be up all night. That's when the action happens, right? Did you take Abraham Lincoln with you? You can tell us what that is. Oh, unless you
I
don't
took
want,
my
da, 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 unless you don't want to.
oh no, yeah, that's the name of my gun.
Yes. 9,
Yeah, 9 millimeter.
that's it. 9mm by Taurus.
Yeah, yay.
Just can't help but like that brand.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good. I mean, that's I see movies or I hear about real stories where if only somebody had some protection, you know?
Yeah,
So I think that's the Mackenzie River.
exactly.
I think that's the Mackenzie River. Would you say so?
It was near the Mackenzie, yeah.
Okay, so I
I
can.
didn't know if I should say where it was, you know. I didn't know if
Well,
that, whatever it was that presented it myself to me, would somebody go trying to find it, you know?
oh,
I don't
sorry.
know. So
Oh, hey, that's quite common.
it was near Rainbow, the little tiny town of Rainbow, and they used to have a ton of Bigfoot statues in there,
Yeah.
in the convenience store there. Yeah.
Well, they're advertising Bigfoot in the convenience store. Tons of people share stories about that area, so I think you're safe. I
Yeah.
think the creature's safe. I sometimes call them Bigfoot people. My friend who has these communications here in Oregon with a Bigfoot family says that they have said, "We're people. We're from the Native American nation."
Yeah.
Now they are pretty special, like superhumans that are covered with hair and can communicate mentally. Yeah, so there's a whole list of things that make these people way different. However, even though we call them people, I don't know if we would call them human. Wow.
Right.
Let me tell you something about that area. The TV show Finding Bigfoot, season one, their first episode in Oregon ever was right there.
Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
in fact,
That's
they
cool.
went to the pizza place right there, and that's where they had their hometown meeting.
Oh, yeah. Where they have a statue.
Yeah, giant Bigfoot in there.
That one.
And so I've been there. I went there. I took mom and our sister, and were you with us?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And you can get to Central Oregon by going that way. But we had pizza. There was a giant Bigfoot in the website Bigfoot Eruption. This restaurant is under the category of Oregon and restaurants in Oregon. And I found out that the Bigfoot that was there for the episode of Finding Bigfoot is different. The guy moved away and took
Okay.
his Bigfoot, so they had to make another one.
Oh, I thought when I first saw it, the statue, it was so awesome. It looked like Bigfoot, but it also made me think of a serial killer, like, or somebody like Jason from the horror movies, because he had a fish in his hand that was silver, and it made me think of a knife. And the way his face was made me think he had a mask on.
Yeah.
But it was awesome, you know.
Well, interesting. What made up the face of that creature was a mask.
Okay.
So maybe that added to the feeling of a mask. I loved the super tall, broad shoulders, kind of long, big, but gangly arms. Very, very good.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I
yes.
often want to go there, like surprise my wife with a date to go there, and hopefully that'd be okay.
Yeah, we passed by it on the way to the camp place. It's Blue River Reservoir, I could just say.
Okay.
That's where we were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, check it out. There's a book about an area. Okay, I'm just gonna say it. There's a book called The Oregon Bigfoot Highway.
Oh, yeah.
It's a highway that goes from basically Detroit, Oregon, and that might be Highway 22, that connects to the Oregon Bigfoot Highway. And the Oregon Bigfoot Highway goes north, I don't know, 80 miles from there. Well, they wrote a book about the Oregon Bigfoot Highway. That's not its actual name, but it's nicknamed that because of all the activity. So there's a book called The Oregon Bigfoot Highway. And in the book, there's all these stories of sightings, but he purposely changed the latitude and longitude, the exact pinpoint of each location.
Oh, that's
Change
good.
He threw it off.
Just
Each
to let them have their.
longitude latitude pinpoint is a little off. Why? Because he said, "We did all that work. Nuts to you guys. you know, find right. it, you find it yourself. And I'm like, whoa. And I don't mean any disrespect, rest in peace to the author, but in this community, that makes me say, really? You have all this information and you're really gonna, that's not very scientific, you know?
Yeah, a part of me is like different things that I've seen or whatever. I feel like, do I need to be protective of the location? Do I need to, you know, for their sake?
Yeah.
You know, the whatever appeared, but they can do whatever and they can show up anywhere, but I don't know if they live in a certain area or, yeah.
I'll totally ask my contact if they okay. mind. Like, it seems like they have a way of protecting themselves anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And my contact didn't share. I know it's the Cascades. And I think I know the contact lives in Lebanon, Oregon. And that's like a gateway through the Cascades. One of the many ways you can get yeah. over the Cascades to the high Oregon desert. Very beautiful. So I know, I guess I'm guessing. My contact lives in Lebanon, Oregon. And I'm imagining in my mind that out her front door, she can see the beginning of the Cascades, because how else can these creatures communicate telepathically if they're 50 miles away? So I'm guessing it's not a Star Wars film. So
yeah,
that's a Luke Skywalker.
There's so many hills and mountains, like Lebanon, it just starts being really mountainous and tree-lined hills and rivers and everything, like perfect Bigfoot country.
Right.
You know.
And my perception is that the creatures get close enough, like they're by the yard, but they're in the trees. And that
yeah.
that the mental telepathic ability is like, I don't know, within 50 yards. I kind of hope it's limited. I hope it's
yeah.
physical enough to where you have to physically be, you know, like two walkie-talkies have to be actually kind of close together to work. At least...
Yeah.
The ones you have when you're a kid.
I wonder how they pick people to talk to. Like, they maybe can sense their hearts or their intention or their energy, whatever the word is. Like with the episode of Sasquatch Chronicles you just mentioned. Like, why did they pick him? You know, why haven't they talked to me or whoever? You know, it's like it seems like a really rare thing, or people don't talk about it. You know,
that makes me want to listen to that episode again.
Yeah.
In case he mentions it, I would say his frequency to that spot is why. Because eventually,
and
I've heard that
he
before.
He seems like a good person too. Like
they
his intentions are pure,
right? And they
yeah.
they could probably sense that. I'm guessing his frequency to that area and gave them the
yeah.
ability to sense they could trust him. And to think that they would want to meet up is huge.
Yeah.
I've heard that
yeah.
a lot. I've heard that a lot. If you go to the same spot over and over and just hang out, it may take years. But,
right.
You know? You know what? We should start doing that. You know, once a year, we should go to
really.
a spot and stay all day. I'm pretty sure it'd be okay to say this. I'll ask my contact if it's okay to share. Eventually, I want her to be on sharing with me like you are. Her husband, they don't talk to her husband. They talk to her. She says she is a seer. Which means she's more sensitive to the ability of people or things communicating to her mentally. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so maybe, in your case, maybe you're not that. I don't know if that's something
right.
you should hope to be. I think she likes it.
Right.
But,
that's cool.
But I do believe they would go out of their way to give you comfort.
Yeah.
If I may interject, I met a guy in the Albany, Oregon Target grocery. It's like a store, Target, parking lot. And I had a Bigfoot Eruption magnet on my van, my very awesome van. And he came up
yes.
to me and he started talking about his Bigfoot story. In the same area you're talking about, at night, he was in the woods, and something was just like 3 feet away from him, behind the trees, huge, massive, loud steps. I think he may have mentioned smelling it, and he was so scared. And I can only imagine the kind of fear you'd have if a demon actually walked up to you.
Right.
And yet, your story, much different than that, but she wanted to warn you not to be scared.
Yeah.
So then when the one was with gravel in its hand, rocks in its hand, as if it was contemplating, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Should I stay? Should I say hi? But it left. And you said that was like the next night. So that probably was what she was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Wow.
Right. Good point.
How these things are so close to us and so good at eluding being seen.
Yeah.
Now, if someone were to say none of this happened, you know, I guess that's okay if they don't believe this, but I believe...
Yeah, they didn't have the experience, yeah.
I believe it happened to you. This experience, the way you're saying it, happened to you. I mean, you have no reason to make this up.
Yeah.
And you're not making up tall tales. Throughout my life, you're not the type to say whammies. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you have a story after the Bigfoot approached you with gravel in its hand?
Yeah, I don't know how long it was after the camping trip, but I know it was after the camping trip at some point. I started, my boyfriend, likes Icebreakers mints, and they're in this round blue hockey puck sort of shaped container, with an opening on each side to take out the mint. And I just started getting them for myself. And so I always had them with me or in my purse. And one night I was in my room alone, and I was just looking at my phone, you know, watching videos. And all of a sudden it was like somebody had a picture of these mints, like on a, it was like as if somebody put a printed picture in front of your face. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't know what that was. So I just kept continuing watching the videos on my phone. And then I felt like it happened again, but it was like, whatever it was really wanted my attention. It was like, I felt like it was like an arm coming out, you know, saying, hey, you know, and I kept seeing this image of these mints. So I'm like, okay. What is going on here? What do you want? Who, you know, I don't know who you are. I didn't feel any fear. I was just surprised.
Were you camping?
And it was like, what was that?
Were you camping again?
No, it was, I don't know how long after camping the first time was. It might have been a few months. I'm not sure. But I was in my room and just taking it easy for the night. And like 9 o'clock at night or whatever. And so then it was like, I felt like it was putting, like I said, it was putting the image of this container of mints in my mind. And so I felt like it wanted to know about it, or it was curious about it, whatever it was. And I didn't know if it was mind speak or what, because I hadn't had this experience before and after camping. And so I felt like it wanted me to show it, and I didn't know where my mint box was. Or so in my mind, I tried to communicate, and I showed a picture of it in my mind. And I opened one side and I poured out one, and in my mind I had it in my hand, and it was like, ooh, you know, it seemed like it liked that, but it still wanted more. So I opened, in my mind, I opened the other side and I took out a mint, and it really liked that. And I don't know why, it seemed like somebody young or naive, not naive, but they were curious, and they they just wanted to know about something. And then it sort of, and then it left, it was gone. And I was like, wow, that was interesting.
So what was this it?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't see it, but because I listened to lots of Bigfoot podcasts and because of my camping trip and everything, in my mind, I was like, is this mind speak? It didn't feel scary. It just felt like it was curious and it wanted to get my attention, but it wasn't physically here. It was like talking to me, but it felt like it was here, but it wasn't. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay.
I was thinking, oh, maybe this is a Juneville Bigfoot using mind speak, or I don't know what it was, because I've never had that experience, I don't think, other than, you know, seeing the red lady and, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a connection there somehow.
Sounds like a juvenile Bigfoot practicing mind speak.
Yeah.
And then
not that long after, on my van, I have these rain guards on the windows, and someone had, like, I had rose bushes in my yard, and someone had taken a rose bud and stuck it up under the rain guard, where you couldn't do that accidentally. It was done on purpose. And in my heart, I'm like, it wasn't that long after that experience with the mints. I'm like, it almost made me feel fear or creepy. Like, is somebody stalking me in a spiritual sense? I mean, it might've just been totally nothing. It might've just happened naturally, but I don't see how it could have happened the way it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, you were saying hi, and after that, I just prayed a lot, and it didn't seem like anything happened after that, at least in those kind of examples.
It sounds like something that would frequent you with being cheerful or hello, how are you? But no, this hasn't happened since then.
Another time near that, though, that I remember, I like sitting out on the back porch at night to have tea or whatever, just wind down for the day, and all the lights are out, and we have a big tree behind our house and a dead-end street behind our house and our cul-de-sac, and it was really dark out, and I heard noise, like somebody walking, and then I got this feeling like I knew I had wanted to see a Bigfoot, you know, in my life somehow, but I felt like I was being asked, do you really want to see one right now? And I got afraid for some reason, and I went inside the house, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Not that it was a Bigfoot, but that's what came into my mind. I mean, yes, there's animals outside. Yes, there's people that live nearby. But it was just the way the whole thing felt. It was like really out of the ordinary and I don't know if that might, because I've heard people say Bigfoots don't want you to feel scared, or don't feel scared if you see one, but how can you not, you know, at least be in shock?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know if the thing stopped after that because I wasn't ready, or I felt afraid, or maybe it was a brain fart or something, you know, but it felt really real anyway.
Yeah, people say it's like, this should not exist, and here I am witnessing it.
Yeah.
I wish we could know, what if you had said yes, to know the result.
Yeah.
Or to know that it would have been okay before you say yes.
Yeah.
Because, of course,
I mean, I know I would like to.
Of course, you're probably going to say no.
At that moment, I didn't. After those things happening, I felt kind of uncomfortable.
I think even Wes Germer would say he'd
good
probably.
Question.
Wes Germer of Sasquatch Chronicles would probably also say no. I think Tony Merkel would probably, of the Confessionals podcast, would probably say, "Heck yes." and I only say this based on my listening to those shows a lot, not to put words in their mouth. Let's see, Nate and Luke from Blurry Creatures, as they're talking into the podcast recording, they'd say, yeah, sure. I guess I'd have to say yes, but I've come close to getting to know people that say they have connections with Bigfoot. And so I've had to think that may be an episode. So I've had to consider if someone said, we have Bigfoot creatures in our backyard in the forest, we see them weekly, do you want to meet them? I have to say yes.
I would say yes. Yeah.
I have to say yes, but at the same time,
definitely.
You can't bring a gun. You can't. Yeah. You can't bring a camera.
Probably not your phone either, right?
I'm okay not.
Camera.
I'm okay not bringing the phone. I'm okay not bringing the camera, because I think I'd remember it well enough to try and draw it, paint it, or tell a sketch artist.
Yeah. Right.
But then I don't have my phone. What if I need my phone for something?
For an emergency.
Something. What if it's a trap? Which it's probably not. I could tell you this, that from the podcast that Bobo James Fay and Cliff Bear Aikman do, they've both said they would gladly die at the hands of Bigfoot.
Whoa.
With a smile on their face to say, hey, at least we know. At least we know.
At least if only someone could have got it on video, right?
No? Yeah. Well, that feels like a good ending point for now.
Okay.
Excellent. So once again, I will post this and send it to you, and you can listen to it, make some notes. If there's stories we didn't get to, we'll add those on. Next time. Our sister has said, I asked her yesterday, has said, yeah, sure, she'll do this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would be great. She's seen so many things.
Yeah.
So that'd be awesome.
and once upon a time, she didn't want to talk about these things because it was upsetting.
Right.
Now I think I told her that. I said, it used to be you weren't ready for that. She said, yeah. It's time. Why not?
Oh, that's so cool. I'm so glad.
Well, I am your brother, and I am hearing a lot of this for the first time, so this is really exciting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's nice to talk about it.
You know what? It's nice to hear it and talk to you with you about it, and I can only imagine, just like the people say in these other podcasts that we've mentioned, all these podcasts we've mentioned, the people have said, thank you for giving me a chance to talk about this. I didn't know who else to talk to, and my wife doesn't believe me, or whatever.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't say this stuff to everybody, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, hey, until next time.
Yes, thank you.